chapter 13. We are now 2 weeks into our 21-day fast, and I want to encourage you to press in. I want to encourage you to stay the course. And I love Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." How many know there are days in the fast that are pretty easy? There's days in the fast that I actually have looked at myself and said, you know what, I could eat like this all the time. And then my small intestine reached up and smacked me right in the face and said, "You will not." You know, there are days that are easier and there are days that are very tough and days that are challenging. And we just, you know, the head hurts and, you know, just schedules don't allow you to do, you know, the way you want and things like that. But don't give up. Don't give up. Stick with this. Walk this out. And if you haven't started with us, you say, "I can never do 21s. Well, how about doing the next 7 with us? It's not too late to join. It's not too late to sign up. Go on Facebook and like the page and pick up a booklet and, you know, get on the email list. You're going to receive the daily devotions and daily emails with encouragement and words. And we put a lot of work into this, and I want you to come and walk with us. And then next Sunday, for all those who are a part of the fast and things like that, we're going to have a break the fast luncheon. And, I think we should have called it a fast meeting, but spelled it M-E-A-T-I-N-G. That's what I'm talking about. And so we're going to break the fast together next week. You know, please let us know. Contact, I think, the office. You got an RSVP so we know who's doing what. But here's the thing. 7 days left. Ecclesiastes, this is a life verse for me. In the New Living Translation, it says this, Ecclesiastes 7:8, "Finishing is better than starting." I love the New King James. It says, "The end of a thing is better than the beginning." There's something about finishing. There's something about crossing the line. There's something about being able to check the box. There's something about saying, "I started and I didn't lose my way. I started this in Christ. I'm going to finish this in Christ. And we're going to trust and to believe." So let's finish strong. And I told you several weeks ago that for roots to grow, a seed must be planted. You know, we have to allow God to sow into our lives the seed of the supernatural. And because God is a faithful sower, we talked about that last week, and the seed isn't called into question. What the sower sows has potential to grow. It has potential to be supernatural. It has potential to bring 30 and 60 and 100-fold depending on the soil that it lands in. So let's use our lives as God desires. Let's use our lives to allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate us, to get the soil right in us, so that the seed of God, the seed of His Word, the seed of worship, His supernatural seed, takes root in us and grows in us and our lives bear fruit. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word, that it is true. I thank You for Your Word, God, that it helps us to ask good questions and right questions. God, I thank You for Your Word today because it is truth and it sets us free. And so, God, I pray today that Your Word will land on fertile soil and take root and bear fruit in us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. And the last week we took some time and we talked about the soil. We talked about pathway people. I'm just going to give you a quick review. Pathway people. And pathway people, and these are folks, life has just been tough. You have faced hardships. It has made you tough. You've had to be tough. You think in terms of, "I survived this and I survived that." You've been hurt. You've built walls. You've isolated a little bit. It's not that you're afraid of relationships or afraid of people. You would like to have relationships, but you just find that so often when you open yourself up, you're wounded. And so you kind of live on one side looking over the wall at the other side. And you watch other people get their prayers answered. You watch other people give testimonies of what God has done, but it just seems like God is tough with you. Your pathway person. We talked about rocky soil type people. You hear the Word and you know it's for you. You come to church and you're like, "Oh my gosh, during worship, that song, it just reminded me of the promise. And man, that was for me." And you hear a word spoken and you hear it and you receive it. And you're like, "That's awesome. I'm so glad I came to church today." You receive it and it feels great, but you have a hard time applying it to the way that you're living your daily life. "I received the truth on Sunday, but Monday I'm just the old me again." because we haven't applied it. We don't make the changes, and it doesn't always translate in your life to life outside of the church. And so when we make changes in our lives, it creates friction, and because we struggle to let go of what was and embrace what the promise of God is, the seed of the supernatural doesn't get the root system that it needs to last in our life, and the enemy comes and plucks it away. We touched on thorny soil, and this has the potential to grow because it is growing things. You hear the word, you receive it, it begins to make a difference in your life. But here's the thing, while you're excited about the things of God in your life and you're excited about what you're sensing and the new things that God is doing, you also have allowed the seed of the world to be planted in your life, and the weeds are growing, the thorns are growing right alongside of the things of God, and they choke out the promise. We pointed out last week that it doesn't say, it says it choked it out. It doesn't say it killed it. It said it made it unfruitful. And so we find ourselves sometimes looking alive, but bearing no fruit. We find ourselves doing the things that other people are doing, but nothing really grows out of our life because the cares of the world have choked those things out. They have compromised you from being fruitful in your life. And then when we feel like we're living, but we're not bearing fruit, and we know it before others do. We know it. We know when we're living our lives with one foot in the world and one foot in the things of God. We know it. You might fool everybody else. You might fool your friends. You might fool your parents. You might fool your neighbors. You might fool your boss. You might fool everybody else, but you know it, and God knows it. And when we live like that, when we function like that, we feel a sense of shame and a sense of guilt. Because when we're in the things of God, we feel guilty about the life we live outside of it. But when we're in the world, we're not committed enough to really break loose of this and move into the things of God. And so we live in this realm of shame, and we live in this realm that guilt motivates us, even when we look right but aren't living right. And we got to understand that shame and guilt are the weapons that the enemy uses to choke out the promises of God in your life. That's how he limits us. We talked about the good soil and hearing the word and applying it. You bear fruit in your life, and supernatural seed will always bear supernatural fruit. I mean, I think when you see God move in someone, when you see someone who's willing to be used by God, who's willing to step out in the gifting that God has given them, willing to step out in the call that God has for them and simply move in obedience, which is and should be all of us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. All of us are to hear what God is saying and to be obedient. And when you move in obedience, the things that God will do through you will surprise you and will shock you, because you'll look and say, that's not me. I can't. That's not me. Listen, if y'all knew who I was in high school, I was this shy kid. I mean, I do not like crowds. I don't like talking in front of people. I'm very content. Now, I love being around people. I just don't always want to have to talk. I love the energy people have, but I'm very content to be by myself. I really am. I'm very, you know, if we're going to go hang out, let's go hang out. That's cool. I'm fine either way, but I would have been the last person I ever would have picked to go into the ministry. I really would have. And so with all of my friends, when I told them, I think God's called me in the ministry, I think I'm going to be a pastor, they pointed and laughed. Are you serious? I'm like, I know, right? Who knew? But God. But God. But God. When you're willing to say yes, when you're willing to say yes, who knows what God can do in you and what God can do through you? And the supernatural seed will bear supernatural fruit. Now, there's a truth for all of us that I think many of us don't just have. We talked about earlier, you know, the kind of the soils. Each person was a soil. But a lot of times, and I think most of the time, that all of our lives have all different types of soil in our hearts. I think that there are parts of us that are hard. I think that there are parts of your life. You've been through some heartache. You've been through some struggle. You've been through some pain. You get poked in the bruise enough, you finally back up from people, and you've kind of been through some things. And so you kind of have maybe a part of your life that is hard and it has been that way. You have a hard time applying. You maybe have parts of your life that are a little rocky, where you kind of say, God, I really wish this was different. I want you to touch my marriage and my finance. I want you to touch my son and my daughter. And you pray these things. God, I want you to grow me and help me. And you mean it, and you really do mean it. But you have enough cares in the world that sometimes we're not willing to make the changes we we need to do to move fully in obedience. I think sometimes we get robbed of fruitfulness. And then there's a part of your life that's good soil that you trust God in, that you move in obedience to God in, and you give God room to move, and His seed is sown, and it takes root, and it bears fruit. I mean, our theme this year is rooted, and it's because I felt like God says, I want my people to be established deeply and firmly. So the question is this, will you give God your heart? Will you trust God with your life? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to come and to turn oil over the soil of your heart to help it to become good soil? And that's really the crux of it all is as I move in the things of God, as I say yes to the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit comes and breaks up my fallow ground, and that the sower is faithful to sow, that our lives change. Our lives grow, our lives bear different fruit. And it's good to 30 and 60 and 100-fold. That's your life. Even though we can be hard-headed, even though we can be hard-hearted, we can take a step forward and two steps backward. The sower is faithful to continue to sow into our lives His grace and His mercy and His love and His promises that are yea and amen to those that believe. It is as we walk with Him, trust Him, step in obedience that His seed lands in the good soil and that our lives bear supernatural fruit. Guys, you do not understand today how much He loves you. He is relentless in His pursuit of you. So we're going to stay in Matthew 13 today. We're going to drop down to another beautiful portion of Scripture. And now we all want to be fruitful and we all desire for the Holy Spirit to cultivate our lives so that we can be good soil. And I love how Jesus follows up the story of the sower with the parable about weeds. And I want to read it to you. It's a very unique portion of Scripture. Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. Then Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the weeds sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and to pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it to my barn." Here's the thing. Not only in our walk of faith do we need to deal with the different types of soil in our heart, but when it comes to sharing the gospel, when it comes to telling other people about Jesus Christ, we have to deal with the different kind of soil in other people's lives. And maybe you're a good soil person and you run up against a hard soil person. You ever met one of those? They're just tough cookies. They're tough cookies. And you might try to share the gospel with lives that are hard and lives that are rocky and lives that are thorny and some that are good soil, but not just that, but He's letting us know, God is saying by this next parable, I think, is He's letting us know that, guys, listen, there is opposition. There is an enemy that means to slow you up, mess you up, hold you back, and affect the way that you live your life. You see, a man sows seed in his field, and while the owner and the workers are sleeping, an enemy comes and sows weeds into the good seed. Now, there was a practice back then. As I'm reading up on this passage, I'm doing some of the studies. There was a practice back then that if you wanted to sabotage someone, that if you wanted, this guy was had all the fields and he was making all the money and you needed to, you would go and you would sow weeds into his field when they were harvest or planting. And then when they would grow up, you weren't able to receive as much and get as much. And it was a way of sabotage. It was a way of trying to destroy your enemy. And the seed that they used was called the darnel. And it's called a mimic weed. It's a mimic weed, meaning this. It's not entirely tame and it's not completely wild. What some of the studies said was this seed could only live with help. It could only live with help. Listen, this is a spiritual truth, man. We got to hear this. That it was a seed that didn't grow of its own accord. It had to be sown. And it had to be cared for it to take root and bear fruit. Much like sin in our lives. Here's the thing, man. When the enemy tries to sow sin, if we don't care for it, if we don't grow it, it's not going to take root in us. So it's a mimic weed. And the thing about a mimic weed is this. If you didn't know it was in the field, you're just out there taking care of your field. Because when it's young, it looks just like wheat. It grows just like wheat. It was only as it reached maturity, and it was only as it started to bear its grain head, that they realized that the grain was different than the wheat. And if you just harvested it all and did it all, the mimic weed, the darnel, was in high doses poisonous to man. And so it had to be addressed. It had to be taken care of. So we have this thing. You could see the difference in the fruit that it produces. So here's what has taken place in this story. The enemy has come. He has sown this mimic weed in. It looks like the real thing. It grows like the real thing. But when it starts to produce fruit, they realize what has happened. And the workers do exactly what we want to do. I see weeds. How many of you had gardens growing up? No one? Just me. You and me, sister. They're all going to die in the apocalypse. We're going to have green beans and tomatoes, and we're going to live fine. We're going to live fine. We're going to be going, it's shame. When we were a kid, my dad always had a garden. Now, he rarely worked the garden. That's why he had kids. And we were always had to pull in weeds. Man, you see a weed, you get it. So here's the thing. They sow this seed. Everything's going great. They see these things start growing. All of a sudden, they realize someone has come and sown this fake seed, this mimic seed into us. And the workers, their immediate reaction, their immediate thought is, we have to go and pull it. We got to go and get this out because that seed is going to ruin the good seed. So here's what the worker said. We wanted to pull the weed, but the owner, knowing that the roots had now, at this stage of maturity, grown intertwined, understood this, that if you pull the weed, you're also going to end up pulling up the wheat. And you can do more damage than you can do good. So he said, wait until the time of harvest has come, then separate the weeds from the wheat then. The weeds would then be burned and the wheat would then be stored. And then Jesus finishes that parable. He goes on to another parable about mustard seeds. Then he goes on to another parable about leaven. And they're great portions of scripture. They're awesome. But after the crowds have gone and the disciples all come back to him and no one else is around, they're like, listen, hey, can we go back? Can we go back to the parable about weeds? Because we didn't get it. What does that mean? Have you ever felt that way with God? Have you ever had God speak something to you and you go, okay, no clue what that means. I heard it clearly. I have no idea what to do with that. And you got to come back. You got God, hey, listen, I heard you. I had ears to hear. Yeah. I need a heart of understanding now. To help me understand what you're saying. To help me understand what you want me to do. And we have to go back for clarification. So Jesus breaks it down for him. And he says in Matthew 13, 36 to 43, then he left the crowd. He went into the house. The disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And he answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. Hey, that's you guys. Congratulations. I like that. The weeds are the people of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will come out with his angel, will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. I read this passage and I'm telling, this is kind of heavy stuff. If you believe in the Word of God, this is serious. That one day we will all be harvested. That one day we will all stand before God. Jesus makes it very, very plain. And I'm reading this and I'm saying, God, I don't want any mimic weed in my life. God, I don't want to look like good. I don't want to sound like good. I don't want to walk like good. But at the end of the day, what I'm bearing out of my life is not the authentic, genuine thing. God, I don't want any Darnell in me. I don't want any weed in me, man. I want to bear the right fruit with my life. And it's challenging because there are weeds. You see, we live sometimes as believers with the assumption that if we do good, work hard, play nice, things will always work out the way that we want, that life should always be good. And that's the illusion that the servants had. They worked hard. They prepared the field. They got out the stones. They made the soil usable. They made the soil ready for the seed. They went out, they sowed their seed. They did it with care. They did it with an expectation of we've done all the right stuff. We got the soil right. We planted in the right season. We're watching the weather. We're going to make sure that everything is good. We sowed good seed. Our master always gives us good seed. And then all of a sudden when it starts to grow and it reaches a level of maturity, they realize something has gone wrong. They run to the master and they say, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Of course he did. And they know that. You can tell that by the way. They're surprised as he is. They're surprised when they discover the weeds. You see, the weeds have shattered their outlook on things because this isn't supposed to happen. Have you ever wondered where the weeds came from? You turn on the news and you sit there shocked at some of the stuff that you see. And you mumble under your breath, when did we stop thinking? When did we become so technologically driven and wise and yet stupid? You ever looked in the mirror and wondered how your life got where it is? I'm serious. I'm serious. You ever look in the mirror and go, what happened? By the time I was this age, the plan was to be here. You ever felt like you're living somebody else's life? This was not the life that was supposed to happen to me. I was supposed to have a nice little house with a white picket fence and 2.5 children by now. But instead, I've been through a divorce. I had to file bankruptcy. Where did these weeds come from? Where did these weeds come from? How did these weeds get there? And we could list out. And the thing is, guys, here's the thing. We could list out all of our hurts, all of our wounds, all of our struggles, all of the hardships that we've experienced in our lives. And you know what? We could list them all out. But still, how did they get here and what did I do? You ever lost someone? Someone you love has a really hard time and it changes their lives. You see a tragedy on TV and you wonder if God is good and God is loving. Why did this happen? You see, where did the weeds come from? So when the disciples come to Jesus, they're not just saying, hey, that was a weird story. When you read this portion of Scripture, they're coming to Him with a little bit of urgency. Because you know what? You're talking sower and you're talking enemies. And we can't pull the weeds out that are growing in the wheat. And the wheat is good and the weeds are bad. And now it just messes up everything. And they don't understand. And they come back and He gives them the explanation. And the explanation is pretty heavy. They come back, there's urgency in their questions. So what do? They do what we want to do. We want to find out who's responsible. Who did this? If only my parents had bought me a pony, I wouldn't be the man I am. If only my boss, if only my wife, if only my husband, if only our children, if only this, if only I had. We want to find out who's responsible. It's someone's fault I am where I am, and we need to find out who? And that's what we want. We want to find them. We want someone to be held accountable. We want someone to be punished. And so when they ask the owner of the field, he simply says, listen, it was an enemy. That's it. As far as he goes with it. He doesn't say go out find them. He doesn't say go out and punish them. He just says it was an enemy. And no matter where we are, the gospel always challenges us to more. It challenges the way that we think, and it challenges the way that we act. It challenges the way that we see things and the way that we live. It is a challenge to become more than who we think we are. That's the gospel. So why do things happen? I'm going to tell you this morning. Because there's an enemy. That's why things go down. There's an enemy, and we are all in a field that has both good and evil. We are in a field that has both life and death. We are in a field that has both joy and sorrow. There are things that we want and things that we don't. And often in life, they grow side by side. So when we see things or face things that seem wrong and evil, it isn't because the kingdom of God has failed you. It's not that the kingdom of God is not enough. It's simply that there's an enemy who sows his seed. Now the worker said, we'll go pull them. Let's go get them out. Let's go and remove all of this. And the owner of the field stops him because he knows that roots have become intertwined. They've grown together, and to pull the weeds would damage the wheat as well. And he says that in Matthew 13, 29 to 30. No, he answered, because while you're pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. And I love this. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters. Now here's the thing. We read a portion of scripture like this, and it can leave a bad taste in our mouth. And I'll tell you why. Because it seems like what he's saying is, listen, we're all in the field. The enemy's got some seed in. I've got you guys in. Just let it be. Just don't mess with it. I'll take care of it at the end. And I read that and I said, well, I don't like that. Because we're supposed to tell somebody. There's enough scriptures to say if you see someone in sin, go to them in love and tell them and encourage them. And I don't think what Jesus is saying is mind your own P's and Q's. I don't think that's what he's saying. You know, I don't think he's saying leave them alone and I'll just deal with them at the end. And although sometimes we see things, when we see things that people have done and we look at, we know God's going to get them. Did y'all see on the news this past week, a family out, was it in California? Had like 13 kids. They had them shackled in the basement. I saw that on TV and I sat there and I said, people don't fear God. People don't fear God. I'm saying people who fear God, you don't do stuff like that. It'd be easy to watch and say, you know what? One day, those folks are going to stand before a holy God and have to give an account for what they've done. And you know what? That's true. But it's true for us too. The truth is, all of us are going to stand before a holy God one day, and we all are going to reap what we have sown. There's a day coming that we will all stand before Him, and it will all come down to, did you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? All of us are sheep or goats. We're wheat or we're tares. And I don't know if that's really what he was saying there, but he was saying, let them both grow. He's not saying, wash your hands of it. He's not saying, when you see that there's weeds in the house, when you see that there's weeds in the life of someone, just go, well, that's their problem. They're going to get theirs. That's not what Jesus is saying, do. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying avoid them, avoid seeing them, avoid talking to them. Nor is he saying, you run out there and you grab that thing by the stem and you yank till dirt comes up. That's what we want to do, isn't it? My goodness, I was talking, when Steph was in the hospital, I was talking to one of the nurses, and she found out I was a pastor. So we were talking about the things of God. And she said, yeah, my son came home the other day, and he had a pack of cigarettes, and I kicked him out of the house. Wow. Because that'll show him the love of God. That's our tendency. When we see something we don't like, we want to kill it. We see something we don't agree with, we want to stomp it. We see something we don't care for, and you know what? We want to tell them why it's wrong, and it better stop now. Now, it's not that you can just say, whatever. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, let them both grow. Because here's the thing. Instead of running out there and ripping out the evil, because in doing that, we often pull out some of the good with the bad. And you can do more damage than good. Because an enemy has sown his seed, and he is at work often when we are sleeping. And too often we don't see it until it is grown. And all of a sudden we go, where did these weeds come from? Where did these weeds come from in my son or my daughter? They seemed like they were doing so good. And then all of a sudden, this. Where do these seeds come from in my husband or my wife? I thought our marriage was doing great. I thought we were on track. I thought we were growing and working past some things. And all of a sudden, where did these weeds come from? You know what I think Jesus is saying? I think Jesus is saying this. Don't panic. When you look at the history of the church, and at times when the church tried to force obedience or force morality, the Crusades, the Inquisition, Salem witch trials, I mean, you just look through the history of the church. It always did more to hurt the cause of Christ than to help the cause of Christ. And I realize this is a different kind of message, but stick with me. You see, people see anger, not love. People see aggression and not humility. People see hate and not grace. So what do I do when all of a sudden I see weeds in my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife? Don't panic. You don't wash your hands of it. You don't ignore it. But don't panic. And he says, let them grow. The language, when you break down the language there, it's some of the same words that Jesus used when he was on the cross, when he said of his people, who forgive them for they know not what they do. I'm not going to carry anger. And I'm not going to carry animosity. And I'm not going to carry offense forward in my life towards you or about you, because there are weeds in your life. It is about loving and forgiving and speaking truth in love. And that means to show grace and mercy. You see, patience is not tolerance. And it's important we understand that. Galatians 6, 7 to 10 says, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from their flesh, they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit, they will reap eternal life. But here's the thing. Your seed's going to bear fruit, and we're going to all be accountable for the fruit of our lives. But here's the thing. Let us not become weary in well-doing. To who? To all. To people who disagree with us. To people who don't think like we think. To people who we look and go, oh, there's weeds. Don't grow weary in loving them. And caring for them. And forgiving them. And to be Christ to them. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Everybody say all people. All. Not just people that agree with you. All people. Especially to those to the family of believers. God says, listen, be good to everybody, but especially to your own. So love one another. So how do we do that when our emotions can be so powerful? How do we do that when you see a weed in your marriage? How do you do that when you see a weed in your son or daughter? How do you do that when all of a sudden you thought things were good, but you discover while you were sleeping, the enemy came in and has sown things that look like the real thing, that looked authentic. But as it reaches maturity, all of a sudden you discover it's a weed. By putting your roots down into Him. Work to know Him, to be filled with Him, so that when life hits us, what comes out of us is love and grace and mercy. We're not ignoring. Speak truth. Speak truth. Look at your neighbor and say, speak truth. Speak truth in love. Build your life on Him. Let truth be the based on His word and on who He is, because that is stable ground. That does not change. That is secure. And then, everybody say, and then? And then your faith will grow strong. And we need faith to be patient. When you see your kid acting crazy, we don't want to be patient. We want to go in and say, you better knock it off. When your spouse isn't acting right, we don't want to be patient. We want to give them a piece of our mind. Who do you think you are? God's on my side this time. We need faith to be patient. We need to trust the Lord. And in truth that you have been taught, then your heart will overflow with thankfulness. Why? Because I think when we allow God to move, when we allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in us and through us, and we say, God, I'm not going to run in there and just start ripping and pulling and tearing up. I'm going to trust You. I'm going to love them. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to speak truth to them in love. So if there's right and wrong, I'm going to say, sweetheart, you know better than this. Honey, you know better than this. This is what God says. I'm going to give them truth and I'm going to give them love. I'm not going to ignore it. But I'm going to trust You. That's when your heart overflows. Why? Because we can see mountains move. Because God can change anyone. God can change anything. We see hearts change. We see God turn a life around and use us because of the way that we loved and forgave and spoke truth and love. So what do you do today if you've got a weed in your marriage? What do you do today if you've got weeds in your son or your daughter? What do you do today if there's weeds and you're all of a sudden realizing now that it's mature that you're, where did these weeds come from? Don't panic. Just don't panic. Rarely when we make emotional decisions are they good decisions. That's what God is saying. Jesus said, hey, I'll handle this. Now, I want to close with this. We could probably all think of someone who has weeds in their life, right? Even though while I'm talking, you're going, mm-hmm. You know who needed to hear this? I want to talk to you for a minute, and I'm going to wrap us up. We can have a very hard time seeing ourselves honestly. And I want to tell you why. Because we look at ourselves through the filter of our reasons and excuses, which allows us to feel right. So you could have a weed in your life, but because you've been through something in your past, because you've experienced something in your past, you feel that justifies. It creates a filter so that when you look at the situation, you go, I am right, when you are wrong. Because we justify. We have a hard time seeing ourselves honestly. Sometimes when we're wrong, there can be weeds in our lives, mimic weeds that look good, but they aren't. And here's my encouragement, and here's my challenge I want to leave with you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to remove the filters of your life so that you can find healing. Because here's the thing, we all know the scripture in John, you will find the truth, you will, and the truth will what? Will set you free. But if I'm looking through filters, and if I'm looking through excuses, and if I'm looking through all of my reasons that make me say, if you faced what I faced, you'd have done the same thing. You're not seeing truth, and you will not find freedom. The Holy Spirit has to remove the filters. He's got to remove the excuses. He's got to give you eyes to see as much as we need ears to hear. So that we can find truth, and it is truth that will set you free today. So listen for the Holy Spirit. Amen.